welcome to the Divided Kingdom. I'm Lou Caverly. Elizabeth Cupid Caverly and I are continuing to report on the tug of war between good and evil here in very late 2018. The American people have spoken. Trump has listened about the illegal immigration and Syrian war quagmires. From the Washington Times, Friday, December 21st, 2018. By Stephen Dinon. U.S. to send migrants back to wait in Mexico. Agreement ends catch and release. Asylum seekers streaming across Mexico to reach the U.S. will be shipped back across the border and made to wait in Mexico while the cases are decided. The Trump administration announced Thursday in a power play bid to end the latest surge of illegal immigration. Mexico has agreed to the plan and will offer humanitarian visas and work permits to the migrants, chiefly Central Americans, who will now wait on the southern side of the border, sometimes for years, for a chance to enter the U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen said the goal is to end the catch-and-release practice that has enticed a wave of illegal immigrants to head north in recent years, convinced that they will be able to make bogus asylum claims and then slip into the shadows. Quote, they will not be able to disappear into the United States. They will have to wait for approval to come into the United States, Mrs. Nielsen told the House Judiciary Committee. And she said if they are granted asylum by a U.S. judge, they will be welcomed into America. If they are not, they will be removed to their home countries, unquote. Ms. Nielsen is triggering a 1996 law that says people who cross a land border seeking entry can be sent back and made to wait. The law has never been tried, though President Trump has long hinted at his interest in using it. He included the language in one of his first executive orders in January 2017, and advisers have been debating its use in the months since. One major reason the law hadn't been triggered was resistance from Mexico. Former Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto said he would never allow it, but his term ended at the beginning of this month. New President Andrés Manuel López Obrador has been more open to dealing with Mr. Trump. Mexico has agreed to allow the return of migrants and promised that it will offer protections while people wait for decisions from U.S. authorities. Quote, they will be entitled to equal treatment with no discrimination whatsoever, and due respect will be paid to their human rights. They will also have the opportunity to apply for a work permit for paid employment, which will allow them to meet their basic needs, the Mexican Foreign Ministry said. Mexico's reversal may have been eased by U.S. cash. The Mexican and U.S. governments announced this week a $10 billion American investment in nation-building in Central America and southern Mexico. The money will help fund civic institutions in Central America and economic opportunities throughout the region. Ms. Nielsen said, quote, I can't overstate the significance of these developments. We are taking lawful, unilateral action to stop illegal entry now.
Lou, this is Elizabeth Cupid Caverly, and we're so glad to be back with all of you on the Divided Kingdom. We had a good Christmas, and we hope that all of you did. And that doesn't mean that none of us have any problems. We always have satanic attacks on us, family attacks, money attacks, things that go wrong, the weather, a wreck in the car, just all kinds of things that people have to endure at Christmas. And remember one thing, faith in Jesus Christ is what you hold on to, because sooner or later he shows you that you can count on him. And we were sorry to see that the waffling is beginning a little bit. Tucker Carlson, after the leftists tried to break down his family's door when his wife and four children were there alone, all these George Soros Antifa-type groups backed with this leftist money, and the Democrats, who are not like the Democrats of long ago. No, we watched a little Christmas special from Baltimore, Channel 11, and it was so delightful, and it was a good thing put out by the Archdiocese, the Roman Catholic Church of Baltimore. It was a good thing compared to these awful things, these reports that continue about the priest abuse over decades almost everywhere in the United States, and the waffling and the cover-up from the Vatican. We certainly want this light of Jesus Christ to shine out and stop this pedophilia. But anyway, in this special, we got to hear various choruses, people who were high school kids. There were really neat things. And there was a former congressperson, Barbara Mikulski, Senator Barbara Mikulski. And she was reminiscing about her neighborhood in Baltimore, how there were some Italians near her. And she said, we all got along. And Lou joked, he said, there's Babs. But I said to him, you know, when you compare her to Nancy Pelosi, I think that she actually has some goodness in her heart. I think she was sincere about that. I think she loved Baltimore and the people. And I think that she's one of those old Democrats. She's one of those that the people who are duped and still think the Democratic Party loves America, you see, they think the Democrats are like she was. But at any rate, what we're coming to now is we're going to see that when Tucker Carlson began to waffle, I think he was threatened with that break-in, so that he made an uncharacteristic remark about President Donald Trump sort of being vague or having no thinking ability. Why, it's absolutely untrue. Did you hear what Lou just read? This is a wonderful, a political idea, this ideal of taking care of our own hemisphere and helping the lower hemisphere build. Recap a little bit what this plan was. Wasn't it $15 billion?
Well, you're mighty close. It was $10 billion American investment in nation building in Central America and southern Mexico. And the article went on to say the money will help fund civic institutions in Central America and economic opportunities throughout the region. And Kirstjen Nielsen, the Homeland Security Secretary, also said, we are taking a lawful unilateral action to stop illegal entry now. Mexico is taking its own appropriate actions in response. And our two countries have committed to a major regional plan to solve the crisis, unquote.
And we can see this is an effective, good plan in which Mexico itself is taking some responsibility so that we won't have all of these illegal immigrants flooding at our border. These are positive, good steps. We know that Satan would like to have nothing more than anarchy, chaos, civil war in this country. And we need your continued prayers for this program, The Divided Kingdom. We need your continued prayers for Christians in America. You know that even former FBI, I almost said kingpin, but it was very important in the FBI, Ted Gunderson. I think he had hundreds of men who worked under him. Even he reported there were guillotines in this country. What are they waiting for? There will come a time, you see, if God turns his back on Christians who are cowards, who will not stand up, who will not pray for revival, repentance, renewal in this country, then the game will be on. Then the martial law will come. But as long as we have voice and we have the wonderful gifts that the Lord has given us, most of you remember now, I hope all you heard the story of Betty Maltz that we repeated when we were very ill from 2014, the story in which Betty was taken to the hospital. The surgeon said she had a ruptured appendix and it had been trying to heal itself numbers of times, so all her major organs were filled with gangrene. She would only live a couple hours, he said, because a key sports figure, a big, strong guy, could only live a couple hours. But she lived on in a coma, and she heard a man she had always despised in a snobbish way come sit by her bedside and read scriptures to her, and the Lord filled her heart with repentance and love for that man. And then Betty stood by the gates of heaven, hearing the angels and the people who are already in heaven singing old hymns. We said they were like what Al Cuppet extols, the old hymns in the KJV Bible, in which we don't have the divinity of Jesus removed and omitted passages like we do in the modern versions. Al Cuppet quoted from Proverbs, "Remove not the old landmarks." So one of the hymns that Betty heard was, "The account was settled long ago." Any of you listening who do not know the Lord Jesus is real, he's real. This isn't Buddha. This isn't Krishna. This isn't somebody else who has mortality. They die. They're gone. No, Jesus Christ, yesterday, today, and forever, he's there. So the angel asked Betty, "Do you want to go on in the gates of heaven?" Betty said, "No, I'd like to stand here and sing a while and then go back to my family." And so on earth, we told how the hospital called Betty's clergyman father and mother, and the clergyman had gotten up early. He felt the Lord was telling him to go at once to the hospital. Mrs. Maltz answered the phone, and she was told Betty had expired some time ago. So she said, "Oh, please try to find my husband before he stumbles into the room where she is. Please find him." But Mr. Maltz went in the nurse's entrance when he got there, and he saw Betty under the sheet. The sheet was pulled over her. She had been dead for 30 minutes. And then Betty saw the sunlight coming in the window, and she reached up above the sheet toward the light. The sunbeams were saying, what is the exact scripture, Lou?
I believe it's John 14:6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life."
And as she reached for those living words, the living word of God, God brought her back to life, and she sat up. Now, this is well documented. Catherine Marshall, the widow of former Senate chaplain Peter Marshall. There was a movie about him called A Man Called Peter. This is not just hearsay. This is real life. Now, what we're telling you is we're in quite a battle here in the United States to keep our freedom, to keep our nationality here, our nationalism. We're trying to keep it. Trump is working as a battering ram from Jesus Christ. We fully believe this. So you, when you hear all these angry, ugly statements about him, all these distortions, all the Mueller business, we have to look to see what he's really doing. What Jesus Christ once done is something positive and good. And here, we're having the migrants stop from coming here. They're going to be taken care of in Mexico. You see, this is the ideal that America should be like. George Washington said, we don't get into foreign entanglements. We take care of our own borders. So Mexico will take care of some of this. But at the same time, we're going to have this $10 billion going to help the institutions in South America. We want to not see the Marxism of Venezuela spread everywhere else. Pick up this article, Lou, and let's hear more.
If an immigrant rights activist had feared such a deal, that's the deal we were talking about between Mexico and the United States, they had feared such a deal and said it was cruel and dangerous to make migrants from Central America wait in Mexico. Quote, "As long as Mexico fails in its obligations to protect asylum seekers, families seeking protection would be endangered while in Mexico," said Amnesty International Executive Director Margaret Wang. And she went on to say, "The U.S. government must not continue endangering the life and safety of people who are only trying to rebuild their lives."
Again, do we hear this globalist voice from Amnesty International? We have to try to be concerned. We have to be politically correct. We're supposed to save the entire world. But at what cost? Is that really what we're to do?
And Representative Zoe Lofgren, California Democrat, said she expects the policy to be challenged in court. And she said, addressing Mrs. Nielsen, "Your policy does not adhere to the requirements of the immigration law," she told Mrs. Nielsen during a meeting of the House Judiciary Committee. "Asylum cases can take years to resolve, and a massive backlog is built up as migrants game the system. Claims, which averaged fewer than 500 a month a decade ago, now near 10,000 a month. Under U.S. policy, migrants need only say what officials deem the, quote-unquote, magic words, essentially claiming they fear being sent home, to pass the initial asylum threshold, entitling them to make a full claim. during that time there in the U.S. Smuggling cartels tell about the ease of making claims, and migrants who have successfully exploited that path tell family and friends back home in Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras, the chief countries responsible for the surge. Making migrants wait in Mexico for years would serve as a significant deterrent because they won't have a chance to gain a foothold in the U.S. A report sponsored by the Homeland Security Department suggested that most of the migrants are coming to the U.S. because of jobs or family already in the country, not traditional reasons for asylum, and are unlikely to want to stay in Mexico. Less than 20% of Central Americans end up qualifying for asylum, but few of the others are being deported, officials say. Democrats said they fear the policy announced Thursday will punish the 1 in 5 migrants who have valid asylum claims, making them wait along with everyone else. Representative Gerald Nadler, New York Democrat and incoming chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, said his solution would be to add more asylum officers and immigration judges to process the cases faster inside the U.S.
Now, the other headline article of the important national news is from the Washington Times, December 21st, withdrawing U.S. forces from Syria. And this is by Rebecca Heinrichs with his subtitle, "There are risks of enormous consequence that come withdrawal." And these are a few excerpts. Time is up, and President Trump is withdrawing the 2,000 U.S. forces from Syria. It's no secret the president has wanted to withdraw U.S. forces from Syria, and it is his advisors had persuaded him to wait. But as time went on, and the United States and its partners demolished the ISIS caliphate, and with a political solution remaining unattainable in the near term, the president's patience evaporated. It's true that there are other ways to affect positive outcomes in Syria, using economic sanctions and diplomatic pressure, as the Trump administration has stated it is committed to be doing. When exactly the military presence will leave is unknown. Quote, you'll hear different timelines bandied about. I'd just say take them with a grain of salt, a senior administration figure told me. Whether it's this month or next, there are risks of enormous consequence that come with withdrawal, that no question the president's advisors warned him of, but the president did not find persuasive. Despite wiping out most of the 100,000 ISIS fighters, more than 10,000 ISIS fighters remain in Syria and could reestablish the caliphate. While some are still visibly fighting, many remain and are hiding in communities. They will be back. The hope is that the coalition, the United States trained, will be able to continue the fight and keep ISIS from reestablishing. History of their having success in this without U.S. help is not good, but nonetheless, it will primarily be their responsibility, not ours. And I have to interject here again that this idea of sending our troops all over the world, this kind of a hegemony, the PNAC years, we remember that, this kind of a globalist neocon empire is not something that sitting here in 2018, President Trump and the American people want. And you see this massive public outcry against all of this empire building has played a part. Turkey's president, now I'm back to the article, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, has threatened to attack the Kurds, the very people who have partnered with the United States. And so we don't know what will happen there, you see. And I do say this, I'm interjecting here from the divided kingdom, that if the Kurds were our faithful allies, and they were, that if someone goes to attack them, we should make a big outcry, and we should make as big an outcry as the killing of Khashoggi, linked to the Saudi royal family, all of that. We should take a public stand against it. We should put a great stigma on it. We probably shouldn't send troops back again. But I think if Erdogan wants to have all these deals that Trump is trying to make with him, he would be wise not to go after the Kurds. President Trump has rightly elevated, this is the article, the need for U.S. allies and partners to behave like allies and partners if they want benefits that only the United States can provide. And again, the article tells how the Kurds were model partners and that the U.S. should not abandon them. That's all very true. But we don't want to get back into the empire building again. Here is something more, and this is Rebecca Heinrichs. In the national security expert community should grapple with, despite the risks of a sudden and premature withdrawal, Mr. Trump likely will not face political blowback. This is because the U.S. engagement in Syria is overwhelmingly unpopular with the American people. The authorization to use military force, AUMF, that President Bush sought and received from the Congress in 2001 and 2002 to go after Islamist militants responsible for the attacks on September 11, 2001, simply does not apply to the U.S. mission in Syria and elsewhere. If the United States was going to keep a military presence in Syria longer, it would have been wise for the White House to seek an AUMF from Congress. Again, that was the authorizations to use military force. This did not happen in part because, despite condemnation from some congressmen and senators about the president's decision to withdraw, Congress couldn't deliver an AUMF. And so, even if staying in Syria longer with the objective to secure an environment more conducive to a lasting peace is the right policy decision, the American people don't buy it. And ultimately, it's up to them. It was up to the president to work to persuade them of the worthiness of the mission or leave. He made his choice. And again, we applaud the foreign policy of the Trump administration to be bringing our boys home. We need them home. Now, at home, we find that, first of all, we have the leftist, anti-American columnists hard at work. And one group is Cokie and Stephen Roberts. And November 25th, their column headed this way: Trump trying to trample press freedoms in U.S. Their hysterical line there, Trump trying to trample press freedoms in U.S. And if you went on, they were talking about the Republican lawyer Ted Olson of the Rhino, that Olson was Representative Jim Acosta, the CNN correspondent who was temporarily denied a White House press pass after the verbal tussle. This is nothing compared to what's really going on, and some of you radio listeners do know that Alex Jones of InfoWars, the key patriot who has really awakened the American people, he and Michael Savage really are responsible for President Trump getting into the White House with their millions of listeners who love America and who decried the view, the empty view at the Democratic Convention with no American flags. Lou, how dumb are people?
Pretty dumb. Pretty dumb. And you would think those Democrats would have realized that, you know, it wouldn't take long for the average person to notice this thing, no flags at all. And, of course, as soon as the word got out, they quickly got the flags in.
But they can't cover up everything. No, they just can't cover up everything, but they're trying. They're trying very hard to break the back of InfoWars. They're trying to indict Roger Stone. But you see, we have someone they don't have. We have Jesus Christ, and I'm going to make a prayer right now. Lord Jesus Christ, we just come to you thanking you for coming to earth. We thank Almighty God for sending his only beloved Son, you, to us, born in a manger over 2,000 years ago, dying on the cross, a horrendous death when we realize we can't begin to realize, taking our sins, our flaws, our weaknesses, the horrible sins of all mankind for all time on you. We can never thank you enough, but we humbly try to tell you that we are grateful, and we pray that we will keep repenting of our sins, each of us, everyone listening. We pray that day by day we will repent, we will trust in you, and we will ask, what would you have us do? Would you have some of these listeners talk to their pastors? We hope so. These pastors could be put in touch with our program. We could send out two CDs that really explain well about the King James Version of the Bible. We would be able to do that. We would be able to have those pastors listen. Some of your friends, your family, neighbors, pray about who God wants you to approach. And now, as we finish this prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, we ask for your continued mercy. And we ask for a spirit of repentance and renewal in America and a great awakening. We ask and we thank you for taking our dear friend and longtime radio patriot colleague, Phyllis Ann Coe, home. She died last Friday. She suffered quite a bit nearer the end of her time in a nursing home. But we will never forget her valiant presentation of her son John Allen Coe's book, A Martyr Speaks. John, who knew the New World Order shipping him to Vietnam would be nothing good, with no good purpose, a war that could not be won. He went to Rhodesia and he tried to help the country from being taken over by the communists, by the Marxists. He fought with the Rhodesian Light Infantry. He became a medic, and they brought the wounded men to John, and he helped them. And then he realized, I could save more lives if I went out in the field. And he did, and he was killed. So Phyllis kept that book alive all through the years after 1975. And when it would look hopeless, she told me it wouldn't be printed for a few years, and then out of nowhere would come someone offering. And one of the last offers a few years ago, I think, were these offers were from some of the Rhodesian Light Infantry men, and they honored Phyllis. So we honor her. We love her. We will be so happy when we go to heaven and we can see her. We know she'll be pulling for us. She'll be praying for us, because she told us that when she was a young girl, and I can say this now, she had very unsympathetic, unchristian parents. And they informed her as a teenager, there are two topics you don't discuss here in our home, and they were politics and religion. So she said, well, you can imagine what I wanted to investigate immediately as a teenager. It was politics and religion. So we thank Phyllis Coe, Lord Jesus, for the life that she lived, and we are so grateful she's with you. And we ask you listeners now to pray with me. Please, oh Jesus, keep safety there for the Trump family and the administration and these people who are being unfairly buffeted about, like Dr. Jerome Corsi. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Amen. And now we're going to see what is really happening here. When we said that Cokie and Stephen Roberts were writing this misleading headline, Trump trying to trample press freedoms in the U.S. No, here's a different headline, Lou.
Radio silence. Station set to dump Michael Savage. This is posted on December 18th, 2018. Talk radio host Michael Savage's long-time nationally syndicated show is about to go dark in major markets, including New York City, despite high ratings, according to his lawyer. Daniel Horowitz told the Washington Times' Cheryl Chumley, it's because of political distaste for Savage's fiercely independent streak. Horowitz said, quote, Michael's voice, unlike his conservative competitors, has always been very independent. Savage is completely a wild card, right? And that's what they're trying to kill. It's all about corporate control. Take him off the air is not a business, or taking him off the air is not a business decision, unquote. Savage told the Times the only reason he can see for the move is, quote unquote, politics. He said, it makes no sense. I have a loyal, large audience. Why not at least do reruns at night, unquote. The Times noted WABC recently issued a news release indicating Savage will move to a new format with 1 hour of radio alongside 1 hour of podcast. But Horowitz said he's seen emails between Savage and WABC officials indicating, quote, the Savage Nation will end its run on the station January 7th. Horowitz said stations in Los Angeles, Chicago, and Washington, D.C. also will drop the program. In 2016, Savage was inducted into the National Radio Hall of Fame in the category of Spoken Word On-Air Personality, based on the votes of the listening American public. The Times noted Radio Insight reported in September that Savage's syndicator, Westwood One, was, quote, shaking up its weekday afternoon conservative talk block, unquote, with Ben Shapiro going national, while Michael Savage cuts back to 1 hour. Horowitz said, quote, networks are actually losing millions of dollars in order to keep Michael's voice off these stations.
And we heard commentary on InfoWars. A person who was well acquainted with Ben Shapiro from times back, and apparently the word on him is that he is kind of an inheritor of the Trotskyite neocon ideal for the Marxist world domination, and that he really is a true leftist. Now, can we see we are getting this kind of, what's the term, the Hessians in the Revolutionary War, they're hired mercenaries. That's what we have. I can say that because I'm descended from one who deserted. He saw how beautiful America was during the Revolution. I think his name was Dilling, and he deserted and went to beautiful Morrison's Cove, Blair County, Pennsylvania, neighboring Bedford County, another beautiful county. So at any rate, we have these mercenaries, Jim Acosta, others. They're on the networks that keep extolling the deep state ideals. Actually, on December 11th, Mr. Jones went to Washington. This was not a heartwarming Frank Capra Depression-era movie. No, while Alex Jones and Roger Stone tried to talk to the congressman in the halls, the First Amendment, Google, and Facebook, people who have taken InfoWars off the platform, some of them were inside of Congress. There were hearings going on, especially with the Indian head of Google. He was being asked such lame duck questions as how Google works with emails. Certainly not addressed was Google's sellout to Chinese control and the coming social credit score run by the Chi-Coms, a credit score that will affect all of you Christians and patriots if some untreasonous members of Congress don't soon wake up. As Jones and Stone pursued members of Congress like the scared sissy jackrabbits they are, some actually ran away physically from the confrontation down the hall. Now, I heard a new update regarding Google and its strange selective benevolence to radical Islam.
Google app helps Muslims report blasphemy. This is from WorldNet Daily, dateline December 10th, 2018. A new Google Android app helps Muslims report individuals who commit blasphemy or insult Islam. With Smart Pakem, P-A-K-E-M, that is, launched in Indonesia last month at the request of the Indonesian government, users and government officials can report people who hold, quote-unquote, misguided beliefs in violation of Islamic law, reports Big League Politics. Islamic law, also called Sharia, forbids insults of Islam and the recognition of any other religion. In Indonesia, which has the world's largest Muslim population, the criminal code prohibits blasphemy. It is defined as, quote, the act or offense of speaking sacrilegiously about God or sacred things, unquote. The penalty for blasphemy in the country of 207 million is a maximum of 5 years imprisonment. Big League Politics noted Google's vice president for Southeast Asia, Rajan Anandan has not shown any resistance to the app, which is available in the Google App Store. Human Rights Watch has reported 148 people have been convicted of blasphemy in Indonesia since 2004. The National Secular Society, NSS, has asked Google not to stock the app in the App Store, contending it will diminish freedom of expression. NSS CEO Stephen Evans said the app was, quote, incongruous with Google's mission statement, unquote, and, quote, runs directly contrary to the democratic ideals which Google says it stands for, unquote. He also said it will, quote, normalize restrictions on freedom of expression in Indonesia and elsewhere, unquote. Jihad Watch director Robert Spencer noted Anwar Awlaki's al-Qaeda recruitment lectures were offered in the Google Play Store app. In 2017, Spencer further pointed out Texas imam Omar Suleiman persuaded Google to drop search results that reflected negatively on Islam. Turkey's Anadolu agency reported at the time, quote, Google's first page results for searches of terms such as jihad, sharia, and taqiyya now return mostly reputable explanations of the Islamic concepts, unquote. The agency said taqiyya, which describes the circumstances under which a Muslim can conceal their belief in the face of persecution, is the sole term to feature a questionable website on the first page of results, unquote. Spencer commented that by reputable, the news agency in the Muslim-majority nation meant acceptable under the Sharia prohibition on criticism of Islam. A questionable website, he said, would be one that tells hard truths about Islam and jihad. Spencer wrote, so this Sharia-friendly stance at Google has been going on for quite some time.
Again, we realize that the globalist plan to take down Europe involved using the radical Islam as a tool, as a mercenary. And so we can see everything is trying to tighten, and we have to realize that it isn't just Islam, that we have this Marxist deep state Vatican left arm, as Alex Jones calls it, of the CIA, the Jesuit arm, the Illuminati, all these terms. But up above there with those Trotskyites who we heard it explained well that Stalin, as horrendous as his purges were and the murderous plan he had, he was a nationalist. But that Trotsky wanted the world domination. So you see coming down here under the control of the so-called right-wing media, like the National Standard. I'm not sure I have the title right on that. William Crystal's, the week, Lou, do you recall? It went out of business. Anyway, William Crystal's publication, it's done for now. Weekly Standard, I think. Okay. So anyway, we had a lot of people, you see, wolves in sheep's clothing. They were posing as right-wing commentators and writers, but they're really these Trotskyites. So we have a listener who wrote a pretty good poem, we think, December 10th. Richard S., our listener, okay, for E.G. in the former Venezuela, sometimes wrong is danger worse than sin. You may think socialism's going to win or even want it. Sure, it does look good, so not oppose it, even though you should. There's no improvement, minus middle class, and poor becomes starvation really fast. Be careful, for you could get what you choose. I'm only out of luck if I do lose. At the same time, the New World Order thinks that it has all the things in hand. It has the radical jihadists manipulated. We know that it is pretty powerful, and I'm speaking about the Dawah and the assaults in the past, in history, of radical Islam itself. And we want to just contrast the kind of spiritual ideology of the radical Islam and the Christian view with two separate articles. The first one Lou will bring to you, and it was in Time Magazine, August the 1st, 2016. It was the story, the tragic story of a social media star.
Honor killings and the murder of a social media star. On July 15th, Quandil Balak, a Pakistani social media star, was strangled to death by her brother for, quote, dishonoring, unquote, the family name by being outspoken about female sexuality. So-called honor killings are widespread in Pakistan, where more than 1,000 women were killed by relatives in 2015. But they're a global issue. Origins. Honor killings, which claim thousands each year, mostly in Muslim, Hindu, and Sikh communities, stem not from religion, but from traditional patriarchy, and occur when women are seen as having dishonored their families. Murderers often get off lightly, especially in Pakistan, where a legal loophole allows the guilty relative to walk free if families forgive him. Scale. The bulk of reported cases happen in Pakistan, India, and Middle Eastern countries like Jordan, Afghanistan, and Yemen. But the West is no stranger to such killings in diaspora communities. Each year, there are an average of 10 to 12 in the UK, 13 in the Netherlands, and 27 in the US. Many more likely go unreported. Solutions. The death of Balak has sparked outrage in Pakistan, fueled by her massive fan base. Under pressure from women's activist groups, the government announced plans on July 20th to close the, quote, forgiveness, unquote, loophole. But it might take more than legal reforms to end this deep-rooted and deadly custom. That was by Tara John.
And we would agree heartily with that article, except for that one little globalist slant. And you heard that the writer was asserting that this didn't really come from religion, it came from patriarchy. But you see, the fact that the writer went on to say that it's not just in the Middle East, it's here in the West, in the diaspora regions. In other words, it's radical Islam religion that brought it here to America. It's not just patriarchal, no way. So we can take a look there at this mindset in which a family member would kill someone. We can also be reminded again about the disappearance of that wonderful, beautiful China movie star, Fan Bingbing. We wonder, where is she? What has happened to her? This is tyranny. Now, to contrast that awful thing that happened there to that star, I bring up Woman's Day magazine for December 2018, in which there was a series of little vignettes about brave mothers and people who were doing wonderful things. Braving the Storm, Stephanie Decker, Henryville, Indiana. On March 2, 2012, a tornado descended on Stephanie Decker's house in southern Indiana. Down in the basement, Stephanie told her kids, Dominic, then 8, and Reese, then 5, to lie down, then quickly wrapped them in a blanket and covered their heads with her torso. As the walls crumbled, Stephanie's lower body became trapped under bricks and rocks, and then a 20-foot steel beam crashed down on her legs. Dizzy with pain, Stephanie sent Dominic to find help, and soon emergency workers arrived to take Stephanie to a hospital. Later that day, doctors amputated both of her legs. The kids survived without a scratch. Just a few months after the accident, Stephanie and her husband Joe founded the Stephanie Decker Foundation, StephanieDecker.com, which sends children with prosthetics to sports camps. To date, the organization has sponsored more than 400 kids. Stephanie also travels the country as a motivational speaker. What I did during the tornado doesn't make me a hero, Stephanie says. It makes me a mom who loves her kids. Isn't that a beautiful, touching story? That is the Christian viewpoint. That is the love of Jesus Christ in a mother for her children. It's far, far different from the satanic darkness, the culture of death, the honor killings. we have this tug of war that we're talking about here again. It's continuing. And we have not viewed yet two short DVDs from American Prophecy. We will, and we will be reporting in January. One purports to have sinister involvement in the California fires. The other is a warning about fast foods, burgers. Could there be something horrible, even worse than horse meat? Could it have a cannibalistic influence? We urge you to pray about this, and we will review those and give you more details on that later. And until we do, some of you wanted more information from StopTheCrimes.net about 5G, all of this harm with all of the wireless devices and the things like the smart meters, the things that are bombarding us. We are going to repeat a very important program January 3rd, so you can note this. Deborah Tavares, she will be talking about the smart meters and some of the other electronic weaponry. And if you want a lot more in detail, you can go to the website stopthecrimes.net. And now we move back again to, are there any things that we must note in this tug of war besides our applauding of Trump's foreign policy there with the immigrants, with Mexico, with building some strength down there in the southern hemisphere, giving some money toward it, bringing the troops home from Syria? And now, Lou?
Finally, we have one high-profile man of stature ready to stand up against the emperor's new clothes, Russian collusion catastrophe of Mueller. Why don't we hear of any congressional actions to expose Hillary Clinton and her sellout to Russia with Uranium One? The brave whistleblower is New York Times best-selling author Dr. Jerome Corsi. Elizabeth and I have his excellent book exposing the NWO plan for the North American Union. This is from WorldNet Daily. It was dated December the 19th, 2018. Jerome Corsi, the investigative reporter who has sued Special Counsel Robert Mueller, has a terse message for members of the Senate Intelligence Committee who have demanded copies of massive quantities of his personal communications. Quote, take a hike, unquote. His reaction came in an interview with Trish Regan of Fox News after the committee demanded from his lawyer, Larry Klayman, letters, texts, emails, and other private communications. Klayman said Republican Chairman Richard Burr and the top Democrat on the panel, Mark Warner, ordered Corsi to produce a, quote, wide-ranging array of documents and then testify concerning alleged Russian collusion, unquote. Klayman, a former Justice Department prosecutor and founder of Freedom Watch, has described the demand as clearly harassment. Corsi contends Mueller set up a, quote, perjury trap, unquote, to force him to testify against the president. The newest move is from a never-Trumper Republican chairman, Klayman said. He went on to say that all of this, and this is in quotes, that all of this documentation was demanded to be produced on December 28, 2018, just after the Christmas holiday. That speaks to this harassment. Republican Chairman Burr and Ranking Democrat Warner, two lovebirds who are attempting to take down the President of the United States, want to use my client as a whipping boy to mete out their anti-Trump and pro-Clinton agenda, Klayman said. It is telling that following revelations by Edward Snowden and others of illegal and unconstitutional surveillance of millions of Americans by the FBI, NSA, and CIA, as well as the illegal unmasking and surveillance of persons in and around presidential candidate Donald Trump, and later his presidential transition, that both of them looked the other way and did nothing when I asked them well over a year ago to investigate this. Instead, they chose to join forces and collaborate to bring down President Trump. Burr and Warner are birds of a feather, two political hacks whose actions speak louder than their anti-Trump establishment words. my client will not be railroaded and held out to dry by them in that joint effort to destroy the president, said Klayman. Klayman also wrote a commentary, quote, given that both Burr and Warner are strong supporters of counsel, Special Counsel Mueller, their motivations are transparent. Indeed, the demand requires that all documentation already produced by Dr. Corsi to Mueller be produced to them, in addition to other politically and partisan motivated demands, such as the order to produce any, quote, communications that relate in any way to derogatory information about Hillary Clinton, unquote. WorldNet Daily reported Corsi's lawsuit against Mueller for hundreds of millions of dollars in damages, along with a formal complaint for, quote, gross prosecutorial misconduct and criminal acts, unquote. Klayman said details about the allegations are at CorsiNation.com. That's the website. Corsi, CorsiNation.com. The lawyer contends Mueller and others violated the Fourth Amendment and the U.S. Freedom Act, as well as Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, leaving Corsi, quote, victimized by the unlawful and unconstitutional and other illegal and criminal conduct complained herein, unquote. Klayman said court documents show Mueller was appointed to investigate, quote, unquote, collusion between the Trump campaign in 2016 and Russia. But he, quote, unquote, misrepresented the ordinary investigative research done by Corsi on that issue to spin a, quote, fake narrative, unquote, that Corsi colluded with Russian intelligence. The court documents say, quote, this was based upon plaintiff Corsi's investigative deduction that the emails between Hillary Clinton and John Podesta would probably be released at a later date, unquote. WikiLeaks obtained hacked emails from the Democratic National Committee and released them in stages. When the first cache came out, Corsi noticed there were none from John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman. Corsi accurately predicted that eventually they would be released, but Mueller is operating on the theory that Corsi was in touch with WikiLeaks and helped coordinate the release of the Podesta emails. The email release came only hours after the release of the Access Hollywood tape, which harmed Mr. Trump's campaign. Mueller and his staffer, Klayman said, threatened to put Corsi in jail for the rest of his life unless he would, quote, provide the false testimony they demanded, unquote.
And while we can applaud the foreign policy actions of the Trump administration, we are frankly puzzled that we aren't having any push toward exposing the Uranium One issue with Hillary Clinton and the others who are involved in really selling out our country. We really need to have some people bravely do something in Congress about this and bring out the truth. And at the same time, we're looking here at the end of 2018 at the people. Again, we said it was public opinion that helped to sway Trump for sure on the new policies there with the immigrants and with the withdrawal from Syria. We have a headline here from the Washington Times. This is December 17th. 74% of Americans say Christmas should be celebrated in public schools. Three-fourths of Americans agree that Christmas should be celebrated in public schools, says a Rasmussen Reports poll conducted the same week that a Nebraska elementary school principal banned Christmas in her school, right down to candy canes, Christmas trees, Santa Claus, the colors red and green, and elf on the shelf items. Quote, most Americans continue to believe Christmas should be celebrated in public schools and that there's a place for religious symbols on public land, said the poll analysis, which found that 74% of the respondents agreed that Christmas should be celebrated in public schools. 14% disagreed, 12% were unsure in the survey conducted December 6th to 9th. Lou and I noticed when we watch Hallmark movies, this year there was a less secular emphasis in the music department. We heard many beautiful sacred carols, such as Hark the Herald Angels Sing, I think, Joy to the World, Silent Night. Those would be some of the ones. And money does speak. People's opinions matter because last year, the Hallmark Channel trumped all other TV watching. People were tuned to this. People are hungry, as our late dear friend and colleague, Pastor Carl Sanders, said, Christmas is a time when you can reach people for Jesus. They're hungry to know. That's right. And we had a nativity scene at Rehoboth Beach. It was a big battle there. And this came from the Salisbury Daily Times in Maryland. Local residents and businesses are publicly backing St. Edmund Catholic Church after a recent dispute with Rehoboth Beach government over a creche that was removed from a prominent public spot in the city. The city ordered St. Edmund on December 6th to take down the nativity scene, which is owned by the Kiwanis Club, after the mayor gave the church informal permission with the condition that other religious symbols, such as a menorah, be included in the display, according to the church. The city ordered the nativity scene be removed within days of it appearing by the Rehoboth Beach bandstand, which is located less than a mile from the church. There was never any permission given by the city for this display, Rehoboth Beach Mayor Paul Coons said during a Monday meeting with city officials. Since the nativity scene was removed, many people have weighed in on social media. They've already destroyed statues and the flag. What's next, churches? Wrote Facebook user Rocco Lano in the comments section of Delmarva Now's shared post for Friday's story. Political correctness is killing this country, wrote Facebook user Jack Zukas in the comments section of a post linking the story in a Bethany Beach Locals page. Quote, liberal, progressive politicians care about two things. One, lining their pockets with unearned dollars. And two, any person who is not a citizen of the United States who wants to enter our country. Others put the onus on the church. What the church has done is constitutionally wrong, wrote Facebook user Marie Vallong in the comment section of Delmarva Now's post. There is a separation of church and state. We fought England for. Move it back on church property. Separation of church and state, wrote Facebook user Lindsay Bergman Debus in the Delmarva Now post comment section. Keep it off public property, and there's no problem. Do we see the tug of war is going to continue? Your voice is so important, and we thank a number of you listeners for helping us this December, because January is our hard month with five Thursdays. Some of you send us some contributions, and we thank you, and we ask the Lord to bless you abundantly. We had a late friend who lived in Maryland, and she said, the Lord will not be outdone in generosity. And we believe that. Many times, if we give sacrificially, then something or someone aids us. But we're not a program here trying to get your money. Some of you do not have much money, but you can share things like that poem from the man in New Mexico. He doesn't have a lot of money, but he has a good heart, and he loves Jesus Christ. If you want to write to us letters, or if you want to send a little cash or a check to WWCR, that's fine if you don't deprive your family and the Lord leads you to do it. Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Again, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And we're looking forward to 2019. Don't forget our important program that will play on January 3rd. And go to stopthecrimes.net. It's up to us all to help each other. Remember, Betty Maltz standing at the gates of heaven. The account was settled long ago, and she got to return to earth and witness for Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus Christ? Accept him into your heart. Pray for forgiveness. Repent of your sins today. You might not have tomorrow. Good night.